This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Heinicke under center, play action, runs out of time with Fowler, who's grabbing him, gets out of his tackle, throws it towards the center of the end zone. There's a fight for the ball, and McLaurin comes up with it! Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! What a play by Terry McLaurin!
Terry McLaurin caught six passes for 123 yards and two touchdowns, one from 33 yards, one from 17 yards. In a 34-30 shootout win over the Falcons. He was the best player on the field, and he joins us right now on the BetQL guest hotline on Grant and Danny. Terry, it is great to have you back on the show. Congratulations on the win and on a gem of a performance, man. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. It feels good to win again and to come out on the side healthy. And looking forward to the next challenge ahead.
So, Terry, I'm here in D.C., obviously. I almost boarded a flight to Atlanta, and I needed to have some words with Taylor. You got hit a couple times. You can't do that to my Terry McLaurin. There were a couple collisions there. I mean, but I know you're feeling good after the win, but physically, how are you feeling, man? That one play on the sideline there, into that cover two, the early slant, just kind of physically, what's going on?
Yeah, I'm actually feeling the best I've felt after a game in the last few weeks, which I think is a testament to all the time and the effort that I put into preparing my body for the games on Sunday. So I'm feeling really good, and no matter what, I'm always put my body on the line to try to make the play. So I'm not afraid to put my body over the middle or anything like that.
Terry, when you guys take the field in the fourth quarter with right around 9 minutes left, you're down 8 points. You go on a 10-play, 70-yard drive that ends right under the four-minute mark. It got you guys within two. Is anything said, like, right before you run out on the sideline or in the huddle by Taylor or anybody else? Do you get any of the guys together, or is it just known it's now or never time?
Yeah, I mean, I just think I just wanted to remind everybody it's just one play at a time. I remember saying that on the sideline to the linemen and, Taylor and all our guys, just one play at a time. We felt like we were moving the ball really well all day. And, the only thing that was going to stop us is if we made some mistakes. And they were a very stout defense. They were making us earn everything. But I felt like we gained a little bit of a rhythm over the course of the game, and we just wanted to take it one play at a time and see what happened from there.
So going to that fourth quarter a little bit, obviously, you guys' defense, not a great day, but there in that fourth quarter, three and out with about a little over 2 minutes to go. They don't have a punter. I mean, their field goal kicker is lining back to punt. He punts. It's down. It's you guys' football, just under 2 minutes to go at your own 24-yard line. Take us into the huddle. Take us into the vibe. Just what's the feeling there?
Yeah, I mean, we were confident. We were in this similar situation against the Giants, and we were in a situation to go down there and win the game. Defense got to stop when we needed it the most, and they gave us a chance to go down and try to win the game. We were in a two-minute situation, so that was something we were really prepared for. And we had guys make plays, guys who didn't necessarily get a whole lot of opportunities over the game, like DeAndre and maybe JD and Hump on a big catch and run. But they made plays when we needed it most. And, Taylor did a good job extending plays and giving us a chance. O-line did an unbelievable job holding up all day, in my opinion. And, those feel good when you continually be put in those game-winning situations, and you come out successful. So, you know, we had confidence going in that situation. It just came down to trying to execute every play.
You know, it's interesting you point that out. I have not really even thought about the Humphreys play since it happened, but that was massive along the sideline. What McKissick did was ridiculous.
Amazing. I mean,
that's a catch that gets you in field goal range, and then he turns it upfield, and he Supermans into the end zone. Like, that was ridiculous. It really was, and everyone had a role kind of fourth quarter there on offense kind of deal.
Most definitely, and that's the great thing about football. You don't necessarily know who's going to make the play, but when you guys got a group of guys who are ready for their moment and ready for their opportunity, and they make the play when you need it most, that's what it's all about. And, you know, like I've always said, I have the utmost confidence in the guys we have on our offense, from the O-line to the tight ends to every group. And, you know, when you're able to execute in must-have situations, it gives you more confidence and more momentum going into your next challenge.
Logan Thomas went down. Brandon Scherff got hurt. Deami Brown left the game. You guys kind of kept on chugging and finished really strong. I don't know how sustainable it is to move the ball like you did without all three of those guys, but if you could just give me a thought on the players that replaced them and just being able to succeed with some major injuries.
Yeah, I mean, I think Wes did a great job coming in for Brandon. Ricky and Bates did a great job coming in for Logan. You know, Cam did a good job coming in for Deami, and Curtis even took more reps. DeAndre came and played outside. So Coach Rivera's always preached next man up, and I think that was it's a cool saying to hear, but it doesn't really mean anything unless those guys come in and they're productive and they make plays, which they all had a great impact on that win that we had yesterday. And we're going to need them going forward. We don't know how long some of these guys are going to be out. I'm obviously wishing them a speedy recovery, but we got some guys who play a lot of football, not just here, but in other places. And I got confidence that they're going to not have a drop off and continue to make plays for us.
The outstanding Terry McLaurin with us here on Grant and Danny every Monday, 4 p.m. after the Washington football team plays. All right, I got to know. Take me inside. What the hell happened on that YOLO ball touchdown where you just outwork the defender, you catch it in the end zone? Yeah. I thought you were going to go out of the back of the end zone, but you're Terry McLaurin. You don't do that. I just, one of the most amazing plays that just sort of at the end kind of looked like just a nice little fair catch like you're playing 500 at recess. What did you see? What did you hear? Just walk me through that whole play.
Yeah, you know, we had a play called to me in that situation, and we got man-to-man coverage, which, you know, we're very confident in. And wasn't necessarily the leverage we were looking for, but and you have to be able to problem solve in the game. You may not be the best leverage, but we got to win against bad leverage is what we talk about in the receiver room. So, you know, I just wanted to run a good route, leave Taylor enough space to throw me the ball. And, you know, obviously he got some pressure, but he evaded him like he did. And once me and the DB, he was face guarding me at that point. So I had my eyes on Taylor the whole time. If he was going to scramble left or right, I was prepared to move with him. But when he gave me a chance to see the ball in the air, I didn't want to give it away too early. The ball was in the air to the DB. At the last minute, I kind of, you know, moved him out the way a little bit and caught it. So it was an unbelievable play. The O-line did a great job of giving him enough time to be able to evade. And Taylor gave me opportunity, and that's all I've ever wanted and asked for. So, you know, that plays like that, they may be ugly, but, I mean, it ended up being 6-6 because I feel like we didn't stop until the whistle was blown, and that's what it's all about.
Last year, Terry McLaurin had 4 touchdowns despite 87 catches. He's already got 3 this season with still 13 games to go, and he had 2 yesterday. The other of them was that 33-yarder. That was a dime where you had a couple of steps, and it was dropped in the bucket. What route were you running there? What was that play design and play call? Just take us into that.
Yeah, that was just a 4 vertical concept that we run constantly. And, you know, I saw 2 men, and Fabian Moreau was kind of trying to play under my route. So I didn't want to give it away that I was going to be running right by him, because then, you know, that 2-man safety would have possibly been cheating over if I would have ran clean by him. So I kind of wanted to just lull him to sleep a little bit and, you know, hold my width so Taylor, you know, could throw me outside and not lead me into the safety. And he did an unbelievable job putting that ball where only I can get it. And I just wanted to try to high point it while protecting the ball in myself and come down with that ball. So that was just really high execution, a look that we felt like we had the opportunity to convert on all week if we got, you know, that look that we did on that play. So, you know, again, the O-line did a great job holding up and you know, Taylor made it easy for me because he put it right where it needed to be. And that was a big play for us. It gave us momentum and kind of got the ball rolling for us that day.
Terry, you guys, you know so these your teammates so well, and you go up against all these guys in practice for months and months and months. How surprised are you? I mean, I'm just a pudgy idiot here that is on the radio, but watches this team obsessively. I'm stunned at what's going on right now with the defense. Just how surprised are you that this is kind of the state of the union?
Yeah, I mean, they're in a tough spot. They're fighting their butts off. They're trying to get better each and every week, and it's not going to be pretty, but. Obviously they're still fighting to play at the standard that they believe they could play at, that we all believe they could play at. But what I don't want to be overlooked is when we need them the most, they made the play. Were they perfect? No. Were there missed opportunities? Sure, on both sides of the ball. But when we needed them to hold them, to get the ball back to win the game, that's what they did. So you take the good with the bad, and you try to build on that momentum going forward. And, it's still early in the season, and we're just all trying to get better.
Terry, you're right, but what if they just made some of those plays earlier? Wouldn't that be fun, too?
I mean, that's just how the game goes. I know I missed some opportunities, too, so, I'm never going to be the guy to kind of point the finger.
Hey, speaking of which, that near fumble thing, whatever that was.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I mean, I told the team after the game, DeAndre and Hump and Taylor, those guys picked me up. I mean, that's the greatest thing about team football. I can't be in that situation where, we're dependent on me to make plays in a gotta have it situation, and I make that close. So I took the accountability with the team that I have to be better at just protecting the ball and not give the refs an opportunity to call it one way or another. So it was a close call. It fell in our favor, but, I need to be better in that situation. I'm definitely going to be. So, it worked out, and guys picked me up, and that's the greatest thing about this team game that we play.
Terry, you mentioned the refs in general, and I can't stand when people sort of, say the refs are out to screw my team or whatever. Yeah. I just generally want to know. I felt like there were a lot of meetings yesterday in that game. Felt like just the constantly they're having committees and discussion. How difficult is that to sort of ramp back up and play football again? Because you guys are used to that rhythm. Play ends, couple seconds, catch your breath, play comes in, and then go, go, go. And you mentioned tempo is a big priority. How difficult is that while they're just, taking resolutions there in the committees?
Yeah, I mean, you don't really have control over, the referee aspect of the game. And if you're too focused on that, then you're probably not focused enough on your job. So we don't really go in. The refs call what they call, and we just adapt to it. And, there's going to be times in the game where there's momentum lost, there's momentum gained by the other team, and you got to try to fight and get it back. So, they make the calls that they make, and we just adapt to it and move forward.
Terry McLaurin, every Monday after games at 4 o'clock here on Grant and Danny. What's your confidence level right now in Hop when he's kicking? A couple missed extra points yesterday. As it's been a struggle for him early on this year. How do you guys feel about the kicking game? Ron stood by him again today in his press conference.
Yeah, and I'm going to stand by him too. That's still my guy and my teammate at the end of the day. He'd be the first one to tell you. Obviously, he wants to make all his opportunities. But like I said, when he's had those misses, we just got to pick him up and be there for him. We're not all going to be perfect, and we just got to continue to get better on all phases, not just him. So, Hop has my support, and that's really what I have to say about that.
After the game, and again, I'm not in the locker room or anything, but just seeing the video that we saw, it felt like you guys were almost relieved yesterday at the end of that game. Is that a fair characterization? Like you just sort of went, oh, thank goodness, let's just get the hell out of here.
Nah, I wasn't relieved at all. It was more so we had a game where we fought to the end. It was a situation where, we had came off of a tough loss last week against Buffalo, but we played a four-quarter game. Like I said, it wasn't pretty at all. We have a lot of things that we need to get better at, but at the end of the day, it doesn't say ugly this or that. In the win-loss column, it says win for Washington. So you take the good with the bad, like I said a little earlier, but we all know we need to improve more. We don't want to play that close towards the end of the game, but some of those games you're going to have to grind it out over a 17-game season. So it was just really cool to see guys step up, guys that you didn't necessarily think, guys who got opportunities to step up. And, we made the plays when we needed to make them. So we're going to just continue to get back and get ready for New Orleans this week.
The Saints at 1 o'clock. That's the New Orleans matchup Terry just alluded to. The Chiefs and the Packers after that. A pretty loaded schedule coming up for Washington. Can you give us an idea and our listeners like what your prep is like generally? So you have the big win yesterday. You fly back last night. Have you watched any tape on the Saints yet, or when do you start ramping up, and how much downtime do you take? Go through that for us.
Yeah, so kind of Monday is our day where we get back in the facility and we watch the film from the previous game, get a good lift in, start getting our bodies back under us. Myself, this one of my big recovery days. Tuesday, you know, you're off, so you have some downtime to do some things in the community or spend some more time with your family. And I try to do both. And then kind of towards Tuesday evening, I start to kind of take a initial look at our next opponent. And then Wednesday is our first install day for the new week. So that's when you kind of get the game plan and you can marry that up with some of the film you've been watching. And then you kind of take it from there. You start watching first and second down. Then Thursday you have third down, a little bit of red zone. Friday you have red zone and situational period. So there's a process that we go through each and every week. And, you know, you have to see what your process, how is it working for you, and try to see little tweaks and improvements that you can make week in and week out so you can have success the next game.
Terry, Taylor Heineke's story has been well documented, and it's awesome. It's movie type stuff. In fact, it may even be too unrealistic for a lot of movie scripts. Honestly, it's so amazing. But that Atlanta homecoming, it was so obvious. It meant so much to him. I don't know if you saw the interview there on the field with Laura Oakman.
Yeah,
and press conference stuff. Just it's hard not to get a little dusty in the eyes, man. Just give me your thoughts on that, and just you could sort of obviously tell what that meant to him.
Yeah, of course. I mean, the more and more I've got to know Taylor, you kind of get to know his story and his background, all he's been through to get to this moment. And, a year ago, he told me he was, staying with his sister and his brother-in-law and not knowing what he was going to do in life. And then a year later, he's making big plays in NFL football games as a starting quarterback in his hometown. You just can't write things like that. And, it's a credit to his determination, his perseverance, and just being ready for his moment, like I've always said. He's always, you believe you have a chance when he's back there, and no play is dead. So it's just unbelievable to see his story, and it's a great story for the NFL and to other people just watching to never give up on, your dreams and everything like that and continue to be ready for your moment.
I just tweeted, Danny, Terry McLaurin is so great on the radio. He may be as good on the radio as he is on the field. I actually initially tweeted. My first tweet was, he might be better on the radio than he is on the field, and I started erasing it.
You got to go, no, that's not sound. No,
that's just recency effect.
Yeah, I'm not going to quit my day job.
Hey, I don't want
Please
you
don't.
To. I need you not to. Hey, I want to sneak one in that's not relevant, timely, but I didn't even think about this until you said Washington. I want to know, they're going to be renaming the team here next year.
Yeah.
What do you think about, if you have two choices, they come to you, they go, we could stick with Washington football team, or we could actually pick a name and have a logo. What you would want them to do, just your personal opinion, not obviously any speculation on what you think is going to happen.
Yeah, I think Washington football team obviously has, we've kind of grown into that. But at the same time, I just think the team makes the name, not the name makes the team, in my opinion. I mean, I've kind of had that saying. It's kind of an analogy I've always used. Somebody's always been like, what cleats do you like to wear? These cleats, that cleats? I said, man, it's the person in the cleats, not the cleats on the person. So I'm going to use the same analogy here. I mean, you just want to step into, obviously respect the history, the great history of Washington and be reflective of that and be inclusive of everyone. That's what I'm hoping. And I know our team is doing a great job of trying to include everyone. And I just hope it's a name that everybody can get behind. So, but at the end of the day, it could be the best name ever made, but if we're not winning games, then nobody's really going to care. So, that's kind of just my thought process.
Totally. The only reason I've come around now, because at first, I was kind of cool with sticking with WFT. I thought it was kind of funny, whatever. It's our thing. Like you said, I'm used to it. But now I'm just so tired of saying, Terry McLaurin is a...
He's a Washington.
Football teamer.
He's a football.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott is a Cowboy. Devontae Adams is a Packer. Terry McLaurin is a... I don't know what he is. He's a Washingtoner? So that's why we're on team, pick a name. But I'm just always curious if players have just gotten used to it and they want to stick with what they've already got.
Right.
So it's interesting.
You kind of get a little used to it, but, no matter what the name is going to be, we still got to go out there and perform. And like I said, I hope it's something that we can all rally around. And now it's going to be something that is not one of the main things that's talked about. It's just kind of like an afterthought. So, like I said, I know Jason Wright and everybody involved is doing a great job of trying to make sure it's a name that everybody can support and rally around. But, I think the team is really going to make the name at the end of the day going forward.
Danny, he probably doesn't care. He just wants more tutties and more dubs. That's what he wants. He wants 13 targets and a win. That's what he's looking for.
Fine by me.
Terry, heck of a game, man. Keep it up. It's
great
awesome
job,
to watch.
Appreciate you guys for having me each week. You guys have a good one. See you next week.
See you well, bro. One of the best in the biz. We're happy to have him on every Monday at 4 o'clock. Terry McLaurin right here on The Fan. 13 targets. And I don't think that's enough, by the way. Like, he should have had, if all the throws his way when he was open were on target and on time, that's a 9 or 10 catch, 180-yard game. And I'm not exaggerating.
Yeah.
If you go back and watch it, like that's just
conservative. That one where he went across the entire field, Heineke was about 4 seconds late and threw a hospital ball there that almost got picked off. It probably should have been a touchdown if it was on time. Probably should have been a 20, 30-yard gain if it was even regular late. If it wasn't anemic and ends up being nothing, it's just another incompletion.
But that's what's so crazy. He had the second-best PFF grade for a wide receiver ever in his first four games with Case Keenum and maybe Haskins as his quarterback. What he's done in the league so far, with seven different QBs throwing him the ball, none of whom are better than league average, is astounding.
It's astounding.
And then you think about these guys that get to play with Wilson or Rodgers or the MVP caliber players in this league and just what that would be like for a guy like him if they could find a QB. Big thanks to Terry, as always, every Monday, 4 o'clock, here on Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. If you've got a thought on Washington's defense, we want to hear from you. How do they fix this? What is the issue? Why can't they get right on that side of the ball? Huge win, 34-30, but another 400-ish yard, 30-point game allowed, and this time to an offense that came in ranked 28th. You're listening to The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
With Danny, I'm Grant, and you are listening to The Fan. Your home of the Nats, your home of the Caps. Nobody talks more about the Washington football team. We'll be with you until 6:30 tonight, reacting to a huge win in Atlanta to get back to 500, 2-2. I sense some disappointment from fans. I get the sense that people, even though this is a Victory Monday and our show presented by Chiniga Mios, visit MIOScareers.com to view positions and apply today. You know that there is like some frustration with the performance, and I get that. I thought they'd win pretty decidedly. I thought they'd play better than they did. But in this league, the way things have gone around here for, I don't know, 30 years, I don't spend much time worrying about the quality of a win or how you won or whether you should have lost or any of those things. The question I ask is, did they win the game? I'm not quite Al Davis, but I'm a just win baby kind of guy. And I move on accordingly. Now, in the meantime, let's not play dumb. Let's sort some things out. Let's acknowledge what you didn't do well. Ron Rivera, I watched his address to the team in the locker room yesterday that they posted on their social channels.
Mm-hmm.
He basically said, don't fool yourselves. I mean, let's all be really honest about how we played today or else we're not going to get better. The fact is still, through four games, they have not played one game that will be good enough to beat a bunch of the teams coming up on their schedule.
I think that's the key. So I joined the pregame show yesterday with Craig and Craig Hoffman and Logan Paulson. And one of the points I made was what you just said. There's almost nothing in the realm of possibility that could have happened yesterday that's going to change my feeling about the next several weeks for this team. Now, something happened externally, and that's the Saints lost to the Giants. Kind of stunning how that all went down. But they're not going to be favored again probably until they play the Eagles in the end of December. Now, something could happen. A quarterback gets hurt or a bunch of injuries occur. Maybe one of these teams they play falls off the map and maybe they might be favored. But again, that's not changing. If they beat Atlanta 4-0, I'd still go, yeah, they'll be dogs against the Saints, Chiefs, Packers, Broncos, Buccaneers, Panthers, Seahawks, Raiders, and then the Cowboys when they play them again. That's not going to change anything. Watching them barely eke out another win against a terrible team. They've beaten two terrible teams in very fortunate to do so, quite frankly. I understand not throwing a parade today, but I'm with you in the sense that, listen, we're not good enough and haven't been good enough for any kind of style points. There's no yeah, but when it comes to this football team and winning games. I will take a win that gives them at least a shot at having relevance. If they can find a way to get two wins out of their next, I'd say, five or six games, you have a shot at having some kind of meaningful season with what's coming up in December. And that was what was on the line yesterday.
800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny want to weigh in. I want to delve into the defense and how they fix all of the problems that they have. I have given up hope. I said this last week. This is not going to be an elite defense. Coming into the year, the expectation was top five.
Yeah.
The hope was number one, number two. That ship has sailed. They're not good enough to do that. They don't even have a thing that they do well right now. So just kiss that goodbye. How do they get to middle of the pack, though? How do they get to a point where they're no longer a liability, where teams aren't converting 10 third downs a game, where they're not giving up 7 yards per play in net in the first half of these games? That's what I want to figure out. I think a lot of it does have to be just at some point the pass rush has to take over. Still hasn't. We thought this was your get-right game with Matt Ryan because he's fairly immobile now. But to Atlanta's credit, and this is what every team should do, we've said this since last year, they quick-gamed them to death. There wasn't really a whole lot of time. There have been plenty of games, plenty of snaps, plenty of dropbacks. Josh Allen, as an example, a week before, where they didn't quick-game Washington, where they had plenty of time. The Falcons were not taking their chances behind this offensive line. The ball came out really, really fast. But that should also mean it's a short throw. Make a tackle. Why are guys so open? Why is it so easy? It's confounding that we're here a month into this season, and it's not getting better. After week one against the Chargers, we thought that was a bad matchup, maybe. They didn't do enough. They learned a lesson, but yeah, they didn't get to Herbert.
Week one flukiness happens all over the league. Yeah. Weird stuff happens. Green Bay looked like they couldn't make a first down.
100%. Pittsburgh beats Buffalo. The Bills have won by 35, 22, and 40 or whatever they won by yesterday since then. Week one is a quirky thing. Set it aside. The next week against the Giants, we said, get right game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Daniel Jones has played you well, but the Giants offense is sputtering. They're not going to come to your building and move the ball with ease. You're going to be able to hit this guy all night long. And they actually did get to Jones a bunch, and I think they had 4 sacks, they and did. John Allen was awesome. But defensively, they were still bad. Then they had the Bills game. We knew that was going to be a struggle, but you didn't think it would be to the extent that it was. And now this past week is the most frustrating. The 28th-ranked offense with an old quarterback who's at times looked like he doesn't have a whole lot left in the tank, and he throws for 400 yards and almost, 300 yards almost, and 4 touchdowns in that game yesterday with a 112 rating. Just easy pitching and catching. PJ's in Reston. What's up, PJ? How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, buddy?
So, I think that the pass rush will eventually come along. That's not even my concern. To me, the danger sign, and I kind of felt like I saw this coming from the preseason, is to me the danger sign with the defense is our linebackers are not good at all in pass coverage. Cole Holcomb, Jamie Davis, they're having issues in pass coverage. They're pretty good tackling, but they cannot pass coverage. Landon Collins in 4 games, he's a liability in pass coverage. Eventually, those, you know, Chase Young, Montez Sweat, those guys will get it going. They'll do it. But that is the issue. And, I'm the guy that once a month I kind of bang the drum about how important it is to have a safety that can cover. I think right now in the NFL, just as important as a cover corner, it's a paradigm change. Just as important as a cover corner and your pass rushers, you need to have a safety that excels in coverage, or you need to have small linebackers that are almost like safeties. If you look at every of the great defenses, Bobby Wagner is great because he's almost like a safety out there. Devin Bush is great because he's almost like a safety. You either need linebackers that can cover, or you need safeties that are not liabilities. Jamal Adams is a huge weapon. You look at the best safeties in NFL history. Ed Reed is not maybe the greatest safety because of his tackling. He's the greatest safety because of his ball hawk. Also, Ryan Kerrigan, we're losing him. See, Montez Sweat and Chase Young are great, right? But I'm a huge proponent that you need to have 3 or 4 outstanding edge rushers because these guys cannot go full bore all the time.
I think everybody's proponent of that. My old adage is, how many pass rushers do you have? Get me another one.
Well, so I was watching with a buddy yesterday, and he keeps going, why is Chase Young off the field? Why is Montez Sweat off the field? Because these guys, as first downs are converted constantly and they've been rushing and rushing to no avail and getting nothing, you get tired. You have to come off the field. You know what I mean? They need breaks.
Everyone you don't who's, play 100%
yeah,
of snaps.
Well, everyone who's upset because they're not in on some third down in the red zone, it's because they just let the team march from the 20 to the to the 10 in the opposite end of the field. So, yeah, they're out of breath and gassed, and they can't be effective. That's what happens when you can't stop anybody. And that's where they are right now. They can't stop anybody. Miracle, by the way, that the Falcons didn't score a touchdown on their opening drive. I mean, congrats, I guess, to everybody involved. You know, you almost went 4-for-4 with touchdowns on opening drives. And that may be the thing, honestly, through all this, GP, opening drive scores by the opponent, that's most exasperating to me. It's when everybody's got their best plan, we're putting our best bullet forward, and they know better than you. And they're walking right down with ease.
But it's not just the opening drive that kills me. It's also right out of the halftime. I don't know if halftime adjustments are nearly as real as people think. I've never really bought that. I've seen enough video of the locker rooms, you know, from these inside the NFL, like, films and mic'd up people. I mean, mostly they're, like, trying to change their uniform and, you know, coaches are yelling and guys are in their locker checking their phone. Like, I don't know how much adjusting is really done. Sometimes you do get on the whiteboard a little bit. But here's what I know. They're also terrible out of halftime. They give up touchdowns to start games where they prepared all week. And then they give up touchdowns. You can't say it's because they're not rested. Their one drive in the third quarter, yesterday, they gave up a touchdown drive. It was the opening kickoff return for a touchdown in the third quarter by Carter. So Washington takes the lead. They take the field, and immediately the Falcons allow go on an 8-play, 41-yard drive, 68 net, because there was a big penalty in there. Touchdown drive. They, by the way, had a 15-play, 78-yard drive to start the game. You sleep on that.
Yeah.
If not for a penalty that moved them back 10 yards, they may have scored a touchdown on the opening drive. You're commending Washington's defense for not allowing one on.
Yeah, that was tongue-in-cheek. I mean, they did score. Got right down to the red zone. It was easy.
Yard drive. That should normally it's first and 10 from the 25. That means if you go 75 yards, you score. That's where 90% of drives start. They went 78 yards on that drive. It just so happens it was only 68 net because of a 10-yard penalty. So the drive actually stopped at the 5, and they kicked a chip shot. A cheapy field goal from 25 yards. It was the fourth time in four games defensively they've had an awful drive to begin the game. And on that opening drive, I got to pull it up here, but I'm pretty sure they allowed multiple third down conversions.
Oh, they did.
Well, it had to be, right? I mean, a 15-play drive.
Oh, yeah.
But I think a couple of them were long, too. So here we go. Third and one.
Third and 10.
Smith up the middle to Atlanta 36 for 2 yards. So that was a quick little run there. Third and 10, shotgun, Matt Ryan pass to Kyle Pitts for 9 yards, set up a fourth and one that Davis ran for 2. So that wasn't quite a conversion, I guess. And then third and 7, Ryan pass incomplete short to Pitts. That was one of their 6 stops on third down in the entire game before the field goal on third and goal from the 7-yard line after the penalty. Let's go to Andre and Manassas on Grant and Danny. What's up, Dre? Actually, you know what? I'm going to wait, Dre. I'm going to throw you back on hold real quick because I want to give you your time. I just looked up. We got to get a quick break, and I want to make sure that you get yours because you've been waiting. If you guys want to hop in on this defense, we want to hear from you on Grant and Danny. It is a victory Monday, but we're still trying to iron this out because we want more of these. And in the 2 wins, they've allowed 30 and 29 points. You're listening to The Fan. Visit MIOScareers.com to view open positions and apply today. We spend these Victory Mondays talking about Washington. The only way to do this properly, in my opinion, we got 4.5 hours. We dissect everything, every play, every moment that mattered, all phases of the game, and I really believe we do the most thorough job you're going to hear at breaking these games down. And a big reason why is we don't spend part of the day talking about other teams and other games. We do that on Tuesday. So I won't get into Belichick versus Brady last night. We'll do that tomorrow when we go around the NFL. But I do want to bring that up just to say that last night's Sunday Night Football game was the second highest rated Sunday Night Football game in history behind the 2012 Division Championship Sunday Night Football game between the Washington football team and the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, yes, sir.
Robert Griffin III playing through that injury.
Rob Jackson saved the world.
He did. Alfred Morris probably saved the world more than anybody else. He ran for 200 yards and 3 touchdowns that game. You may remember.
I do remember, yeah.
Swinging that bat in the end zone over and over again. That game. And still the champion of the ratings when it comes to Sunday Night Football. Good try, Brady, going back to New England to play Belichick. You can't beat Washington and Dallas for the division.
Good hustle, I guess.
9 years ago. Let's go to Stan and Chantilly. What's up, Stan?
Hey, guys. Like your show.
Thanks, bud.
Quickly, Heinicke absolutely needs to be our quarterback moving forward. He has absolutely earned it. He's got fine arm strength, which, by the way, is grossly overrated as a criteria. He's creative. He's poised. He's actually intelligent. And he's just a gamer. He's a winner. At which point we have so many scary receivers that get wide open that he can't find them, then we can talk about somebody else. Until then, he's just fine because we need to save all of our money in the offseason to replace our entire secondary. They all got to go. The only one worth keeping was Jimmy Moreland, and we made a huge mistake letting him go. That was just terrible. I would give anything for 30 minutes with Jack Del Rio before he gets fired to confirm with him, are you really saying we can't blitz because our secondary is weak? That's why we need to. I mean, all out, zero blitz, whatever you call it, and actually get to the quarterback in 1 second. Otherwise, they'll burn us up all day long. What was Laura Oakman wearing last night? Some kind of Bob Marley t-shirt? Killing me.
Oh, that's, you know what's funny about that? I don't know what she was wearing, but at one point my wife said something about how she was wearing a band t-shirt like under her jacket. And she was just like, wow, that's kind of a cool look on the sideline. She's wearing a band t-shirt. And I don't know what it was. I never saw.
I don't either. I didn't really notice.
My wife pointed out. She's like, that was kind of cool. Did you see that? She was wearing a band t-shirt. You don't see that very often. That's funny. That's two people that have brought it up.
Jimmy Moreland, one game played for Houston this year, did not register any kind of statistical impact there. So I don't know if that was the savior.
Last game, right? Because he's been hurt.
I don't know. I'm just saying that the idea that that was the fix and that's all gone. I don't necessarily buy that. But in terms of the secondary.
Hang on 1 second. Yeah, I want to double down on that. I'm not saying that's the fix. Would you agree that Kendall Fuller hasn't played very well in the slot? How could you disagree with that?
I would agree to that.
Okay.
But the idea that Jimmy Moreland was going to play over Kendall Fuller isn't true.
Well, Kendall Fuller would have been playing outside. And Jimmy Moreland would have played inside, where he played decently last year. They had less of a problem in the slot, in my opinion, last year than they've had through 4 games this year. I don't think he's great. But yesterday, as an example, Benjamin St. Juste was hurt.
Was hurt, yeah.
So you would have had Kendall Fuller outside, and you would have had Jimmy Moreland inside. Probably a better situation than what they had. I'm not telling you it would have made the defense would suddenly be good. I think it's very fair to say, hey, they made a decision, which was to kick Kendall Fuller inside and to not keep that guy on the roster. And so far, it hasn't been a great decision. Kendall Fuller has really struggled in that role.
Okay, I think that's fair. And again, I said at the time I would have kept Jimmy Moreland over Troy Apke. I 100% said that. I wish they still had Jimmy Moreland. But the idea that this was the fix, I don't necessarily maybe buy that. Maybe I heard a different call than you did. But
No, I'm not saying you heard a different call. I'm just, you're hung up on the call. I don't care about the call.
Okay.
What I'm saying is they cut Jimmy Moreland.
Yes.
They moved Kendall Fuller to the slot.
Yes.
So far, Kendall Fuller has not played well in the slot. Last year, he played really well on the outside. They have to play him in the slot because they don't have anyone else to play in the slot because Jimmy Moreland's not here anymore. All those things true?
Yeah. I mean, they played Kendall Fuller sometime. Anyway, I don't know where we are. Ultimately, to me, nobody in the secondary has played well. And I think their biggest issue in the secondary, whether it's Jackson, whether it's Fuller or otherwise, I think Landon Collins is really bad. And I think there's like people trying to make up for that. I think everybody that's out there sort of has to help out and do maybe more than they're supposed to be doing because of how wretched he is in coverage. I really think that need whatever that is has to stop. And they pay him so much money. He's going to be on the field. He's got to just be a linebacker.
They had
for
a
me.
Safety cost him a 40-plus yard touchdown yesterday that wasn't him.
That's true, too.
It was the guy that would be playing more if you didn't have Landon Collins playing.
And I think ultimately, now it's not every play necessarily, but I feel like guys have to feel like they have to account for Landon Collins, where it's like, I have to do my job and maybe part of his because he can't get there because he's not around.
Very possible. Here's their safety position other than him, by the way. Bobby McCain, who the Dolphins cut, didn't have any problem cutting. A special teams ace in DeShazer Everett.
Curl.
And Cam Curl, who's pretty good. Hadn't played nearly as well, I don't think, this year as last year. But again, nobody's playing as well. That's their position. Do they have another option? If they had a really good safety waiting in the wings to play, Danny, I'd say play that guy. I don't know that they do. Again, the guy that they would play more for, Landon Collins, was the guy that made the wrong decision and bid on something and got beat for a 45-yard touchdown yesterday. Dre, what's up, dude?
You know, I'm not really surprised the defense is performing this way. And it's funny you guys mentioned Alfred Morris in the beginning of the segment because, Grant, you were always a big believer that, you know, the Redskins, Washington football team fans have a revisionist history when it comes to those last six games in terms of how much, you know, Alfred Jackson.
The Alfred show.
And I honestly think the defense is the same thing. Listen, I think with so many fans, you know, it's funny that we start the season last year with Philly, and I apologize for talking about last year, but we started the season last year with Philly, 8 sacks, and we ended the season with Philly, where the only reason we won that game is because they removed Hurst from that game
Nate
and the defense. So I honestly think this, yes, we're looking at these four games, but I've been calling a lot of shows and I've been arguing. This defense, there was something wrong with this defense from last year, and you could see it against the Philly in the Philly game. You could see it against the team. I think we lost to Carolina. There's always been something wrong. Now, I don't know what it is. Do we have too many master chefs and not enough sous chefs on the defense? You know, but this guy, they look like a box of two left feet. There's something wrong. They're not playing like a team. They're not playing like one unit. They're not playing complementary football. As to what it is, who knows? You know, I'm just a fan sitting on my couch. I don't know anything about football. Obviously, the coaches need to figure it out. But there's obviously something terribly wrong. And if anybody, I would argue, just maybe instead of looking at the quarterbacks we played last year, perhaps we should look at the offensive line, the defensive line went up against last year to see how many star players they had they were going up against, how many Pro Bowlers or how many scrubs off the street. Because I still think that first Philly game, there was a bunch of guys off the street who never played before. And maybe that gave the team.
Same with the Cowboys game, Dre.
Thanks, buddy.
The Thanksgiving Cowboys game, it was like 4 of the 5 starters from week one were not there. It's not worth repeating. I mean, we've said this. We're broken records on this, and I've said it till I'm blue in the face. Last year was not what people remember it as. I still hear mostly national, but some local people saying, how have they gotten this much worse this fast? Because last year was not what people thought
mirage,
it was.
Yeah.
Last year was a House of Cards thing. We all said the awakening's coming. Well, some of us did. But none of us thought it would be like this. Like, I can't even raise my hand and say I called this. I didn't.
Yeah, I said a regression to, like, 12th.
I said they're not
30th.
As good as people think they are.
Yeah.
I didn't think they'd be the worst at everything.
Mm-hmm.
And a 3rd-and-13 would be petrifying. This defense, you got to fix? Can you help Del Rio? Can you help Rivera? We're Grant and Danny.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.